Praise be Jesus and Mary. We heard in the Gospel today from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark these words. Whatever villages or towns or countryside Jesus entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel of his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. That's Mark 6, verse 56, the last verse of the chapter. So the Gospel today speaks specifically about how material objects, like the tassel on Jesus' cloak, became channels of his grace and of his healing power. There are other instances of this in the Gospels. For example, in the chapter that precedes this one, the 5th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, there was a woman with a hemorrhage who was cured simply by touching Jesus' garment. In the 8th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus used spittle to cure a blind man. Another example would be in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, he used clay and water to heal another blind man. So throughout the healing episodes we hear narrated in the Gospels, Jesus often uses material objects to confer his divine power onto someone to heal them. Not only in the Gospels does Jesus use material objects as channels of his power and of his grace, but he also uses people, and in particular 12 people, who are often in the Gospel referred to as the 12. We said that today's Gospel is taken from the end of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. At the beginning of the 6th chapter, we read this: Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. It's Mark 6, verse 7. And then a little later on, St. Mark adds this: So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Mark 6, verses 12 and 13. So all throughout the Gospels, and this is even seen in the book of Acts, there's a certain conferring of power and authority that Jesus gives to these 12 men. Jesus is the source or the origin of that power, as is in the Gospel today, where we heard that where the sick were healed by touching his tassel, he was the source of that power. But Jesus doesn't cling to his power or hold on to it as though it were all just for himself. So we ask ourselves, well, what are some of these powers? And what is this authority that Jesus, who is God, has, which he has shared or conferred onto the 12, onto the apostles? Well, here are just some examples you'll find in the New Testament. One, he gave his apostles the power and authority to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick and drive out demons. For example, you'll see that in Matthew chapter 10. Another example, he gave them the power and authority to lead the followers of Christ. In John's Gospel, the 21st chapter, we remember that Jesus told Peter three times, "Shepherd my sheep." And another example, in Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus told Peter, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Another example, Jesus gave the 12 the power and authority to baptize. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 28. Another example, he gave them the power and the authority to forgive sins. John 20, verses 21 through 24, we hear this. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained," Jesus said. 5th example that we find in the Gospels, he gave the 12 the power and authority to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we read that, for example, in Luke chapter 22 at the Last Supper. We read that our Lord consecrated the bread and the wine, transforming them into his body and into his blood, and then he instructed the apostles to do this in memory of me. Another example, he gave them the power and the authority to make theological and pastoral decisions, as we read in the book of Acts, chapter 15, when the apostles decided that the non-Jews who wanted to become Christians needed only to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols and from fornication, but did not need to be circumcised. Lastly, and a last example that I found was that he gave them the power and the authority to choose their successors. And we read that in the first chapter of the book of Acts, when Matthias was chosen in place of Judas to become a member of the 12. So these are just some of the examples in the Gospels and in the book of Acts of how our Lord intended that his power and his authority be conferred or given to his apostles so that they could in turn confer it or give it to their successors. In this sense, it's appropriate to say that our Lord educated the apostles. Well, he educated them to be not so much his successors, because as we know, our Lord has no successor. No one succeeds him, but he educated them to be his vicars on earth. A vicar is someone who takes the place or who stands in the place of the master or the superior while they're away, exercising their authority until they come back, until they return. And of course, that's what the apostles and their successors, the bishops, do, because that's what our Lord, as we read in the Gospels, had taught them. That's what he had educated them to do. That word educate comes from the Latin. It comes from the Latin word educatus, which means to lead out of or to lead forth from something. An example of this is a good father who educates his son out of the helplessness and the ignorance of being a child into becoming a man. The father helps him to mature, helps him to grow. So too our Lord educated the 12 apostles, helping them to grow spiritually and to mature so as to be able to fill in for him after his ascension into heaven. And I'll tie in just one other word study with all this, that word authority. That word comes also from the Latin, auctoritas, which comes from another Latin word, auctore. We know this in English, author. But that word, auctore, comes in turn from another Latin word, augeo. And in the meaning of that word, augeo, there's a certain sense of waiting, of patiently staying alongside someone and helping them grow. That's exactly, of course, what a good father does with his son. He stands alongside him, he educates him, and he helps him grow into maturity. Spiritually, that's what God the Father does with us. He stands alongside us. He helps us to grow into the image of his son. He encourages us, he educates us. Ecclesiastically, that's what Jesus did with the apostles. He stayed alongside them for 3 years and helped them to grow so that they could take over for him in his absence. And while he helped them to grow and mature spiritually, he at the same time conferred his authority onto them. And that's where we get the word tradition from, tradere in Latin, which means to give over something to someone with a sense of handing on of something to someone else. Our Lord gave over his authority to the apostles so that they could, in turn, pass it on to their successors, the bishops. Now, in conclusion, we've seen today how Jesus used not only material objects as channels of his grace, but how he also used and uses still to this day persons to be ministers of his grace, of his power, and of his authority. So when we hear someone, for example, say to us, and we'll hear this often, "I don't need to confess my sins to the priest. I go directly to God," they'll say. Or, "You don't need to get baptized to be a follower of Jesus Christ." Or someone will say, "Well, why do I have to listen to the church? I just listen to my heart, or I just listen to what God tells me." Well, when we hear those things, we can briefly and charitably explain to these people that Jesus trained his apostles to be in charge of the church until his second coming, giving them power and authority over us, his followers. And so if their thinking isn't in line with the thinkings of the teachings of the church, then that's something they'll have to explain to God when they see him face to face. They'll have to explain that to God himself, who founded the church and sustains it to this very day through the power of the Holy Spirit. So may Our Lady help us to become true channels of God's grace and humble instruments of God, as humble as the tassel on the mantle of Jesus' cloak, or as humble as a repentant Peter after the resurrection of his Lord. Praised be Jesus and Mary.